Celeste, you do know far more about about the disease in general, about dialysis as well, than a lot of the physicians who you may run into. Certainly in an emergency room, many primary care folks and sometimes specialists in rheumatology or nephrology. How do you help the physician or the nurse or the pharmacist? How do you help educate them in this engagement approach?
Sure. So what it is, what I did, we just relocated here from Ann Arbor last year, and we were there about 5 years. And before that, we had been in North Carolina. But I was actually able to, when I went to the University of Michigan, I was able to help them lead and develop a patient family-centered care program that was for adult services, that was through the entire health system. So that was specifically for the point of care, clinical care. It was for research, and it was also for education, right? And it's absolutely asking that question. As a health system, how do we actually get our physicians, our care providers, our nurses to understand about patient-centered care, right? Which is really about engaging patients, right? So instead of having a healthcare system-centric or provider-centric, and we just kind of plug the patients in to what we're going to do, we actually start at patient-centered. And that's what I would tell you. It's like to get true patient engagement, we as are you as healthcare providers and as nurses, and if we want to improve outcomes and we want patients to become more engaged, how do we reflect back on ourselves and look at the way that we bring them in and talk to them in the clinic when you're sitting there and talking to me as a patient? How are you doing that? And how are you making it a much more open environment for the patient to be engaged with you, right? How do we set up our clinic to make sure that they, do we embed peers in that clinic so that they really start to understand their illness and their care? How do we, on an inpatient floor, how do we do our rounds so that all of you aren't hanging outside while the patient's like trying to listen really hard what you're saying out there, and then you all come in like a movie, and the attending is right there, and everybody else kind of fades into gray and is back to support the physician. But you have that conversation with the patient, as opposed to maybe, having the new ideas of bringing everybody into the room and actually engage the patient and the family in that rounding process. So not only are you mirroring to the patient and engaging them in listening to what students and residents have to do to report about their illness, and do a round on them, but you're also mirroring to new young doctors to be how to actually do this work, right? So it's really up to the attendings, the senior physicians, to start to mirror what it is that you need to do. Though when I tried to train and do, I did a lot of in-services for physicians to talk about how do you operationalize this? Like, if you're telling me to do this, how do I do it? And I don't have time. Like, that's the biggest barrier or challenge. I don't have time. And I absolutely understand that. But one thing I can tell you is that if you've got 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you can make that 15 minutes feel like 30, or you can make that 15 minutes feel like 2. And it's all about your interaction with the patient. So that's, and there's so many ways, and we don't have enough time here, but there are absolute tools that we can use to help physicians, nurses, and a system understand how to actually change the way we do our business in a way that encourages patient engagement.
Let's just take a moment, though, and list some of those
Of what
approaches.
you do?
Yeah, I mean, you've already named one, which is the reality that on the inpatient service, very frequently in teaching hospitals, the physician is with a gaggle of other physicians or physicians to be, or nurses to be, talks extensively about you.
Right.
You can't hear it.
Right.
And then they emerge as if by magic through a otherwise closed door, which
Right.
must be infuriating.
It's, you know what it is? Again, it's the isolation again, because it's almost like this is about you. You've got all of these brilliant minds coming together to talk about you, and you're not a part of it. The one person that's missing in that conversation is the patient and the patient's family.
So you'd have rounds
Right there at the bedside.
right there. What else would you do?
So I'd also have, with those rounds, I'd also have an opportunity to do multidisciplinary team rounds so that you had all of the team, not only the physicians, but you would have the nurses, you know, respiratory therapy, OT, PT, care managers, like when you're looking to figure out what's going to be happening for the patient that day, to try to do those instead of doing them in the break room, to actually do them at the bedside. Because what that does, it's a lot of things that happen. One is you've got the family and the patient there. So as you guys are talking about it, or as the rest of the team is talking about what they're going to do that day, they may be able to chime in and say, you know what? I did that yesterday already. And they're like, oh, you know, so they can help with safety and quality, the patient can, and the family. And also the patient and the family hear what the plan is for the day, because the most isolating thing in an inpatient bedroom is you're like, what's happening today? When am I going to get to go home? Nobody's told me. I don't know, you know, what's happening. But by listening and being a part of this conversation, they actually understand what's happening today. So they're not going to be pushing that button all day long, asking what's going on, what am I going to do this, what's the plan? They're part of the plan. They hear it. They know it. And I think that's really important. You're going to see the thread that goes through this is engaging and bringing in the patient and the family to a lot of the conversations that we have that we normally didn't do, right? So it's the same thing. Another opportunity within an inpatient setting is when you're having nurses doing their shift change, right? So you have one nurse, you know, the nurses are coming off at 3, other ones are coming on. They do their transitions and kind of hand, and this is what they hand off, you know, the patients. But to me, it's to hand over a patient, because when you hand something off, it's kind of you're shaking your hands, you're done. When you hand over, it means I'm entrusting you with the care of my patient. I'm handing it over to you, right? So that's what that process is. But you could also do that at the bedside. You can do the nurse, you know, transition at the bedside. One is one nurse introduces the other. The one nurse says, you know, invites the patient and the family to be a part of that transition. But they ask them if you could just keep all your questions until we transfer the information that we have so we don't lose it. And they're by the whiteboard in the patient's room. And so they're kind of telling what's happened today, what's going to be happening over the next 7 to 8 hours. The patients and the family are listening. Again, it helps in the quality and safety. But most importantly, what it does is it creates a relationship for the nurse and the patient and the family, right? And so they're kind of engaged together in what's going to be happening. So that's another way of engaging the patient in the inpatient setting. Now, another example, let me just say, if you're talking about in a clinic, in an outpatient setting, I'm a firm believer that we are missing the opportunity to embed peers in our clinical practice. We have so many patients who are type 1, let's just say type 1. So you have an endocrine clinic, you have a clinic day where you have a number of patients who've just been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. We have a number of patient advisors that we've brought on, which means these are patients, type 1 diabetes patients who are really good at being, you know, patient engaged. They understand about advocacy. We've trained them in peer mentoring. So they come on into our clinic and they have a little card. And it's a card from the University of North Carolina Endocrinology Diabetes Clinic, peer mentor, right? And this is not a paid position. This is volunteer. And these patients come in 1 or 2 days a week in the clinic. And so that when you have a new patient who's being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, that and they get checked in through the front of the clinic and they get brought into the room to wait for the physician, a peer can knock on their door and go in and say, hey, my name is Celeste. I'm also a type 1 diabetic. I've been one for 5 years now. Here's my card. It's got my email and my phone number. Please feel free to reach out and call me after you've gotten your diagnosis and you talk with your doctor. I'd love to help you at the beginning of your journey because I know it can be really hard, right? And so what does that do? One is it helps fill the time as a patient's waiting in the room, talking to someone that's meaningful for them. It also gives them the idea that they've just been introduced with somebody who it's like they've got the same like fist pump, you know, the same handshake. And that way, when they're listening to the doctor, they may not catch everything. But now they have this card of somebody who's going to be help them get on the right journey for becoming an engaged patient who's type 1 diabetic, which we know could really increase and improve their outcomes. So that's another example of improving patient engagement.